course, the hurricane and the impacts thereof are dominating our coverage and all of our thoughts this week, not just in North and South Carolina, but along the coastline and, of course, down in the Bahamas as well. We're also, though, looking ahead to next week, Tuesday, when we've got a couple of fairly significant elections on Tuesday in North Carolina, special elections to fill two open seats in the U.S. House of Representatives, one in North Carolina's 3rd District, where voters are heading to the polls to replace the late Walter Jones, who passed away recently. And then, of course, the one that's gotten more attention in the 9th Congressional District, where the State Board of Elections threw out the results of last year's election owing to widespread absentee ballot fraud. Dan Bishop and Dan McCready running against each other, the Republican and the Democrat there. Where do things stand on those two races as we look ahead to Tuesday? For that, we are joined by Tom Jensen, the Director of Public Policy Polling based out of Raleigh. You can find them online at publicpolicypolling.com. Tom, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
So let's start with District 9, the one that everyone's been following particularly closely. And by all accounts, it was certainly a very close election last year that came down essentially to the absentee ballot issue. And the polls that I've seen for this upcoming special election, it looks like it's going to be kind of another kind of 50-50 race, right?
Yeah, two polls came out in the last week. One of them actually had Dan McCready up by 4 points, and the other one had Dan Bishop, the Republican, up by 1 or 2 points. I really think that it's a totally 50-50 sort of race that could go either way. And I think that speaks to a couple things that are kind of important. We have talked a lot about how I think we think at Public Policy Polling that the political climate now is really very similar to what it was 10 months ago when Democrats had such a huge election in 2018. And if this race ends up being functionally a tie, once again, regardless of who wins, just as it was functionally a tie last November, I think that speaks to it continuing to be a positive political climate for Democrats and really sort of voting pretty poorly for Donald Trump last year. We have to remember that this is a district that voted for Trump by 12 points. So even if Dan McCready, the Democrat, loses by 1 point on Tuesday or something like that, that's still a pretty good outcome for Democrats to be outperforming by so much in that district. So I don't know who's going to win by 1 point or whatever between McCready and Bishop. But really, unless Bishop somehow exceeds expectations and wins by 5 points or more, it's still a pretty good outcome for Democrats, regardless of who actually gets to go be in Washington for 14 months.
And I remember having a very similar conversation with you a couple of years ago when we were starting to have special elections across the country in 2017, particularly that one in Georgia, right, involving John Ossoff, that every Democrat was really looking to as a possible kind of bellwether for 2018. And then Ossoff ended up losing by a couple of points. And people started to say, well, I guess there's not going to be a blue wave after all. But we had the conversation after that where you said, look, the fact that he lost by a couple of points in that district is actually a positive sign for Democrats. And that turned out to be right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And I think a big thing to watch is sort of how the media reacts to whatever happens. If Dan Bishop wins by a point, Republicans are certainly going to claim that this shows that momentum's back on their side and people love Trump and Republicans are back. Going to be interesting to see whether the media goes along with that narrative or not, because I don't think it's correct given it being a Trump plus 12 district. But one thing that we sort of know about the national media is they get sick of writing the same story. And over the last 2.5 years, the story has been Democrats are doing really well. Trump's really unpopular. The momentum's with Democrats. This is something that if you decide to, you can decide that this is a change in the narrative when in reality, if McCready lost by a point or two, it really would sort of be a continuation. So it's something where I think the margins matter more than who the winner really sort of is, because it, obviously who wins this doesn't have much impact on what's going to happen in Congress or anything like that. But really, again, anything other than a solid Bishop victory, I think it's a pretty good performance for Democrats in that district.
Members of the media don't like writing the same story over and over again, but it is super easy to just cut and paste from previous stories. So there's motivators pulling us in both directions.
Well, when I say the media, I don't mean you. You're more thoughtful than who I think of when I say the media. I mean those folks up in D.C. They could take some lessons from us in Orange County.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, publicpolicypolling.com is the website. You can also find him on Twitter at PPPpolls. So that's House District number 9. How about House District number 3? That's also kind of a heavier, more Republican-leaning district, and this is not a district where there was any shenanigans in 2018 that might affect the thinking about this election. So the presumption is that the Republicans are going to be favored in this one, but where do you think things stand?
Well, there's been one poll out on this one, and it had the Republican candidate Greg Murphy up by 11 points over the Democrat Alan Thomas. But again, to put that 11-point lead for Greg Murphy in perspective, this is a district that Donald Trump won by 26 points. So I'm a little skeptical that it'll necessarily be as close as 11 points. But if it does end up being that close, that's a 15-point Democratic overperformance relative to how Trump did in that same district. And one thing I should note with both of these races is that Democrats have really good candidates for these districts. These are places where in the past Democrats might have phoned it in on a nominee and not really had a serious candidate running for them. I think people know a lot about Dan McCready, that he has a good story, good military background, and he's certainly been a prodigious fundraiser. And that's a big part of why the ninth is so competitive. It's a similar story in the third. Alan Thomas, the Democratic candidate, is a former mayor of Greenville. He's been a big civic and business leader in the eastern part of the state. So that, you know, sometimes things are so nationalized that we forget that candidates do matter. And I think that is a big part of why Democrats are running as competitively relative to the overall political tenor of the districts as they are in these two, is that they did get pretty good folks to run.
How do you expect the weather to affect turnout in these two races?
Well, I certainly don't think it'll be good for turnout. And that is one thing to think about, is that we know that Democrats always amass an advantage in early voting. So I would certainly assume that based on who's voted so far in the ninth district, that Dan McCready is winning, because the people who have voted early are about 4 points more Democratic than the registration in the district, and they're also a lot more Democratic than the people who voted early last October. So Dan McCready, I'd say there's a 100% chance that Dan McCready is winning based on what's in right now. And I bet that Alan Thomas in the third district is relatively competitive based on what's in right now, because Republicans tend to vote more on Election Day. Democrats tend to vote early. I don't know the extent to which the storm will keep people from getting out and voting 5 days from now. That's probably more of a problem in the third district that's not as competitive than it is in the ninth district. But one thing I, you know, would point out in the ninth district is that the further away you get from being affected by the storm, the better Dan McCready is doing. Dan McCready is going to be strongest in Mecklenburg County, which I don't think is going to be seeing much effect from the storm at all. The eastern parts of the district that are going to be more affected by the storm, I think Republicans are a little bit more reliant on. It's not something that's going to turn a race that would be decided by 2 points into a race that gets decided by 10 points or anything like that. But I could see a world where Dan McCready wins by half a point because it was just so much easier for people to come out and vote in Charlotte than in the more conservative parts of the district.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling, and as we wrap up, kind of a separate question. Obviously, we're thinking really heavily about the hurricane this week, so this has kind of flown under the radar a little bit more than it might otherwise have, but the really significant court decision that got handed down earlier this week ordering lawmakers to go back and redraw the state legislative district lines, and the even more significant development that, in this case, Republican lawmakers apparently are not going to appeal that decision, and they are going to start redrawing the district lines beginning next week. We've talked about the impact of partisan gerrymandering quite a bit, but just as a reminder, what might that mean for North Carolina in 2020 in terms of where the General Assembly stands?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what the Republicans can get away with in terms of drawing their map. I mean, certainly we've seen that we're, and this is the congressional level, which isn't affected by this, but, we're a 50-50 state, but Republicans have 10 out of 13 congressional seats. Democrats won the statewide legislative vote by 3 points last year, but they're down 65 to 55 in the House and 29 to 21 in the Senate. So that shows the extent to which it's the lines that are keeping Republicans in power, even though most people last year voted for Democrats. So I think it's going to be hard for Republicans to draw something that doesn't give Democrats the opportunity to pick up more seats. There's several counties where, or several areas where a bunch of Democrats have sort of been dumped into one seat to make it possible to have a couple Republican seats. That's the situation in New Hanover County down in Wilmington. There's sort of similar dynamics to that in Winston-Salem, in Alamance County, in Cabarrus County, in Guilford County. A lot of those places, if the lines get redrawn in any sort of fair manner, Democrats are almost definitely going to go ahead and pick up a seat. And there could very well be enough of those places to get Democrats to a majority next year. But certainly we know that somehow or other, the Republicans are going to try to draw something that continues to give them sort of a structural advantage, and we'll see if the courts will approve them drawing a map that still gives them enough of a structural advantage to stay in control. But if we get a truly fair map, we're going to have a truly fair fight for the General Assembly next year, and Democrats, for the first time in a decade, really will have a legitimate chance of getting back control.
PublicPolicyPolling.com is the website for more numbers. You can also find them on Twitter at PPP Polls. Tom Jensen, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.